There was a day in America where a man's word was his bond. There was a day in America where a handshake was as good as a legal contract. There was a day in America where a man's character mattered. By the way, for some of us, a man's word still is his bond. A handshake still matters, and character is still important. Amen? But there was a day when that was a guarantee. There are very few guarantees in this life. Some have said just death and taxes, and state taxes, and city taxes, and town taxes, and taxes. Amen? Death and taxes. Very few people at any level make guarantees anymore. I think about going back, and obviously many of you know I'm a sports fan. I think about before I was born, there was a man named Joe Namath who guaranteed victory over the 15-1 Baltimore Colts in 1969. And you know what happened? That's rare. I remember, of course, Muhammad Ali guaranteeing victory. How many of you ladies remember a lady named Betty Crocker who guaranteed you a good cake? Amen. Said it was a guarantee. Amen. Very few guarantees in life. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus Christ had told us three times earlier, he told his disciples, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it said, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." He said that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Then again in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22, it says, "While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And on the third day he shall be raised again." And then a third time in Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, Jesus said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and on the third day he shall rise again." So Jesus three times told his disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem. He was going to suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the elders and then be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. We knew him at the time as the Romans, amen. And they were going to mock him and scourge him. He was going to be crucified and killed. But he said, "On the third day, I'll rise again. I'll rise again." Amen. In Matthew chapter 28, look at your text with me if you would. You have in verse 1 there, it says, "And at the end of the Sabbath." And there's been much speculation through the years, and obviously I don't want to get into a debate with anyone whether you celebrate Good Friday or not. I personally celebrate Good Wednesday. And we had our Wednesday service here. We call it Crucifixion Wednesday. And Jesus had said that he would be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And as I've often said, it's just hard to get there from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. Amen. And here it's talking about the end of the Saturday Sabbath. But there was two high Sabbaths that they had before. They had the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The 14th day of Nisan, the 15th day of Nisan. This was the 16th day of Nisan. And it began to dawn towards the end of the Saturday Sabbath, towards the first day of the week. That's Sunday. That's the day we celebrate today. And in verse number 6, Jesus is talked about by the angel. The ladies come to the tomb and they're looking for the body of Jesus. And he says there, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Look back just a couple verses there in chapter 27, verses 59 and 60. It said, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. When they had ended there on Wednesday, that stone was in front of the sepulcher, and the body of Jesus was in the tomb. And here, 3 days later, he was gone, just like he said. Amen, folks. Jesus Christ guaranteed that he would rise from the dead, and he did. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? I want to preach to you this morning briefly. I preach so brief, I preach from morning deep into the afternoon. Every week, amen. I do. I preach till about 12:05, deep into the afternoon. Amen. And I promise I'll be right on time. I know folks got Easter dinner in the oven. The empty tomb's guarantees. There are some things that are guaranteed to us because of the empty tomb. By the way, the first thing is this, and I love this part. Number one, the empty tomb guarantees us that the Scriptures are absolutely true. That they're absolutely true. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 24, when they came to him and he began to, we talked about it just at the beginning of service, the Emmaus disciples, how they were sad, and Jesus walked with them and he talked with them, and it says in verse 44 of Luke chapter 24, it says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. By the way, those are the three major divisions of the Old Testament. Jesus was saying it was all written about me, and everything that has happened thus far is so that those Scriptures could be fulfilled. And he says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus said that he would die and raise from the dead, and he did. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it would do each one of us well to understand that in the fact that these Scriptures are absolutely true. So what they say, we can believe. How do I raise my children? Dig out this book. There's so many truths in here. How can I live life in a wicked world? Get in this book. Because everything that you read in here is true. The Scriptures are absolute. By the way, I'm so glad about that. I make so many mistakes in myself. If you're with me, say amen. Oh my goodness, I make so many mistakes, but I'm glad that I can go to this book and have a mistake-proof life-living manual right here. The Scriptures are absolutely true. It's a guarantee of the empty tomb. Why? Because if the Scriptures had not been fulfilled, then somebody was lying, or somebody was mistaken, and neither happened. Because everything, and by the way, I was just reading 2 Peter yesterday, talking about in the last days that scoffers shall come, say, where's the promise of His coming? I'll tell you where the promise of His coming is. It's right there further in that text where it says, a day is as with the Lord as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years as one day. The Lord said, I'm going to come back. He's going to. He's going to. Amen. He is absolutely going to come back. Why? Because the empty tomb guarantees us that, number one, the Scriptures are absolutely true. Number two, the empty tomb guarantees us that there is life after death. It guarantees us that there is life after death. John 14:19, Jesus, as He's comforting His disciples, as He's just given them this the terrible news that He's going to die. And you remember, they didn't understand, Brother Kelly. They said, listen, we've forsaken all and followed You. What are we going to do now? They just didn't understand, like we are sometimes. Amen. We don't understand what God's doing. He says this to them. In John 14:19, He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. Talking about His crucifixion. He says, but ye see Me. And then He says these beautiful words, because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, ye shall live also. In John 16:16, further on in the discourse, he says this, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His power. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb, that guarantees us that there is life after death. Death is not final. It's the doorway to eternity. There is life after death. The empty tomb absolutely guarantees that. Better than Joe Namath. Better than Muhammad Ali. And I'm sorry, ladies, even better than Betty Crocker. Amen. The empty tomb guarantees us that there's life after death. That the Scriptures are absolutely true. Number three, the empty tomb guarantees us that all will be judged by God. The empty tomb. You say, boy, I don't like that. If I didn't know Christ as my Savior, I wouldn't like that very much either. But the Bible says this in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Christ, the empty tomb, guarantees us that every human being that has ever been born will stand before God and give an account. Now here's the good news, folks. Jesus Christ has already paid for all the sins of all the world for all time. What you need to do is appropriate that. What I need to do is appropriate. What does that mean? That means if you were at our dear friend Christina, she works at the bank, amen. If there was a $1 million check, somebody had written it. We had a pretty good offering last week. But let's say Brother Merrill, he's loaded, amen. He wrote me a $1 million check, amen. And I had that check in my hand, and I just walked around with that check. Miss Christina, would it be any good? No. You see, I've got to do something. I've got to take it into the bank with my 5 new bodyguards that I just made new friends, amen. And I would have to turn it over and sign it. You see, Jesus Christ died for the whole sins of all the world. But you know, not everybody's going to heaven. You know why? Because they in their heart have never endorsed the check. They've never made Him their own personal Savior, saying, He not only died for the sins of the world, but He died for my sins. It was my sins, as they sung about who killed Jesus there. But here, listen to me, friend. If you're an unbeliever, you say, I could care less. You're going to stand before God. I don't care if you could care less or not. You are going to stand before God. And every little sin that you think you got away with, you didn't get away with. Hey, believers, we're not going to stand at the great white throne judgment and give account for our sins, but we're going to give account for our life. How you living for Christ? You've been saved a long time, but not doing anything for God? Time to turn around. Because you know what? You could face Him today. You could face Him today. All will be judged by God. The empty tomb guarantees it. Say, I don't want to stand before God. There's a lot of things I don't want to do, but that is going to happen. By the way, I'd rather stand before Him as His child than cursed in my sin. All will be judged by God. There is life after death. The Scriptures are absolutely true. Oh, I love point number four. Point number four is in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Please allow me to read it to you. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Number four, the empty tomb guarantees us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Declared with power to be His Son by the resurrection. You know, I love to read, and I this week read through the crucifixion passages. And you say, how can you love to read that? Because I love to read about somebody who loved me so much. And I read about it, and here they were at these trials, just absolutely just amazing to me and how Jesus was silent. There's one portion in Mark chapter 14 where Jesus speaks. And they said, "Tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And He says, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power." There was another time where the religious establishment had kicked out a man that at the beginning of the day was blind and in the middle of the day received his sight. And they kicked him out of the temple. And you remember the story how he said three times, he said, "Look, a man named Jesus made clay." It's in John chapter 9. "Made clay, he put it on my eyes, and now I see." And they said, "Well, no, tell us again." He told them again. And they said, no, tell us again." He said, "I've told you twice, and you haven't believed me yet. A man named Jesus made clay, put it on my eyes, and now I see." And they say, "This man, Jesus, is a sinner." He said, "Well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is this. I was blind, and now I see." And they kicked him out. And Jesus walked up to him. It says in Jesus, verse 35 of John 9, says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Jesus' works declared that he was the Son of God. But the ultimate seal and stamp of approval that he was exactly who he claimed he was that he raised from the dead. The empty tomb proved it. He's the Son of God. I've talked to many different people from other quote-unquote religions. I remember one time I was talking to a Muslim man for 45 minutes on a street corner. We were just talking. It wasn't out of control. We weren't in each other's face boxing. When we got to the end of the story, "Uncle Joe," I said this, "you've told me why you believe in being a Muslim. I've told you why I'm a Christian. But I said this. I said, there's one thing that we completely differ on. And that's," I said to him, "what about your sin?" See, in Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bore our sins in His own body on the tree. You have to take your own. And what He said to me was, He kind of acknowledged that it was something to think about. And He said, "I hope Allah will be merciful." And I said to Him, "He won't. He won't. But Jesus Christ has already been merciful." The Son of God. He's the Son of God, number four. He's declared to be the Son of God. The empty tomb guarantees that Jesus is the Son of God. The empty tomb guarantees that all will be judged by God. The empty tomb guarantees that there's life after death. The empty tomb guarantees that the Scriptures are absolutely true. Number five, and my favorite point of all, the empty tomb guarantees us that change is possible. Change is possible. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Romans chapter 6, verse number 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead," empty tomb, amen, "by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." You see, folks, it's because of the resurrection from the dead that you and I can have victory over sin in our lives. It's not in our own power. Yeah, I've tried that turning over a new leaf thing. You know what happens? It becomes the old leaf. Amen? But I want to tell you what. It's because of the resurrection from the dead that change is possible. A change in our eternity. Because of the resurrection. But a change also in our own life. We don't have to serve sin. And if you read the rest of Romans 6 and Romans 7, it talks about how you don't have to serve sin because Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. It was March 29th, 1970. My friend, Phil Tharp, he's been with the Lord now for 8 years. he went in with his five kids. He lived in Pekin, Illinois. He was on the fire department. He was scheduled to be chief. March 29th, 1970, it was Resurrection Sunday. Brother Hendershot, he went into St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Pekin, Illinois. He said the church was so cold and dead, he used to call it the first church of the refrigerator. For years. First church of the refrigerator. He had told me the story himself. He said it was one of those, just a high church building, high atmosphere. They had two lecterns. One was for the song leader, and one was for the person who read the scripture. And this man walked over to the lectern, and he walked. It was one of those kind you walk up, very fancy, amen, and stood up. And he read the first six verses of Matthew chapter 28, ending with, "He's not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And he closed the Bible. And Phil Tharp said, who had been witnessed to by a co-worker over and over and over again, said from the time he got from that lectern over to the middle, "I had trusted Christ as my Savior, and He had put His call on me to serve Him." I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't happen without the resurrection from the dead. That man left the fire department where he was going to be chief, went to Midwestern Baptist College in Pontiac, Michigan, 1972, with his family of five, plus his wife, five children and his wife, seven all together, worked his fingers to the bone just to make the ends meet while he was in Bible college, went on, pastored churches. His son went to Bible college, his sons and his daughters, amen. His son got a burden for a little town in New England called Holyoke, Massachusetts, went out there with his young wife, planted a church, and in 1995, your pastor got saved, all because the resurrection from the dead makes change possible. By the way, when I think about that story, I truly think of the verse in Romans 14:7. Truly, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth unto himself. We all have an effect on others all around us. Change is possible. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All will be judged by God. There is life after death. The Scriptures are absolutely true. Number six. 1 Corinthians 15. Would you go there today? If you have a Bible, go over to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to end here in this text. Famous resurrection text. This whole chapter is about the resurrection. Number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." See, the sixth guarantee of the empty tomb is this: sins can be forgiven. Without the empty tomb, they can't be. None. No forgiveness. That means we're going to have to give an account for every thought, every little deed, every little action that nobody but God and us, we're going to have to give an account for it. Amen. Or, if there's a resurrection from the dead, and Jesus, who was put in that grave because of our sins, has already paid for them, they can be forgiven. Amen. I'll tell you what, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Ladies and gentlemen, if you or I had to stand before God for even one sin, we would have to spend eternity in a place called hell. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." But Jesus Christ died, didn't He? He died for our sins. And that means that sins can be forgiven. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God can forgive sins. You remember that passage in Mark chapter 2 when the four friends, and they were friends. They took that man who'd been sick of the palsy, and they couldn't get into the house where Jesus was, so they said, hey, we got to do something. And they began to tear up this man's roof. And they literally tore up this man's roof. And, little bit, let him down. And Jesus saw their faith. And he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And remember, all the Pharisees said, huddle up. Who can forgive sins but God only? Exactly right. Amen. Exactly right. God does forgive sins because of the victorious resurrection. Sins can be forgiven. Lastly today. And I said the other one was my favorite point. Do you know how these messages go? Every next point is my new favorite point. Amen. 7 points, Brother Hendershot. 7 points. Amen. Look at verses 18 and 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Talking about if there is no resurrection, those that have died are in the ground, they're done. They're perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You think about the person who, think about the young person. They grow up in a church. They, perhaps we've got our missions conference coming up later this month. Many young people have committed their lives to God at a missions conference, at a camp. So just imagine, here's this young person, he says, or she says, I'm going to give my life to God. And they set out to find God's will. And we're just going to say God's will for them is to go to China. And they go to China and they spend 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Maybe some things happen along the way. Maybe they bury a child. Maybe they go through just terrible times of persecution. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. If in this life only we have Christ, those are the most miserable people in all the world. But verse 20, look at it with me. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Last point is this. Because of the empty tomb, the last guarantee of the empty tomb is that there is hope. There's hope. First of all, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me. You're not fooling God. You may be a fine person. You may be a fine person, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. Here's the good thing for you. There's hope for salvation. There's hope for salvation. Romans 10:9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know what else there is? There's not only hope of salvation, but for those of us that have put loved ones in the ground and bring flowers to the grave, there's hope of reunion. There's hope of reunion. Without the resurrection, we don't have that. We don't have it. But you know, the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit of God, was inspired to write the last 6 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to close with these verses today. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Talking about those that have died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Why? How can He descend from heaven with a shout? I'll tell you why, because He came out of the tomb. See, the empty tomb guarantees that. It guarantees hope. He, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, there's hope. There's hope. I remember cold, cold December day when I watched my friend Eric John Tharp, 18 years old, be put into the ground. I'll tell you what, folks. It's hard to watch anybody you love be put into the ground, but especially an 18-year-old. Got a lot of living ahead of him. I went to that grave many times. It says a young preacher that was faithful. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 on there is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because His compassions fail not, great is Thy faithfulness. But I remember thinking, this is not the last time I'm going to see you, big boy. This is not the last time, because of the empty tomb. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. So here's the application for us today. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, listen to me, listen to me. I'm not your pastor, your guest here today, but I'm a preacher of the Word of God. Don't delay. Don't delay. You never know when day is going to be your last. What a horrible thing. I think painted in flames in hell are the words too late. Too late! Why? Because I wanted to be. One of these days I was going to get saved, but I just put it off. And something happened. If you're not saved here, trust Christ today. It's simple. It's by faith. We can have one of our ladies show a lady, a fellow with a fellow, show you right out of the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. No doubt about it. Absolutely. You're here today and you're a Christian. Are you living for God? I mean, are you really living for God? Or let me be frank with you. Are we not going to see you again until Christmas? That's not living for God. That's not living for God. As I was talking to Max and June at the beginning of the service, I said, aren't you glad Christ is risen? And of course they beamed, absolutely. As I say so many times, He'll be risen the remaining 51 Sundays of the year. So don't let us be the last time we see you, amen? Don't be a creaster. Christmas and Easter, amen? Don't do that. Serve God. Why? Because He's worthy of our service. He rose from the dead. There's so many points I couldn't even get to today. The Bible says that He was raised for the dead for our justification. So that we could stand before God completely justified, just as if we never sinned. That's the way God sees us, because of the resurrection from the dead. Get busy for God. Get busy, hey, believe in this book and submitting yourself to the authority of this book and saying, God, if You say it, I'm going to try to do it. If You say this is the way I'm supposed to raise my kids, I'm going to try to do it. If You say I shouldn't go to these kind of places, I'm going to do my best not to. I'm going to do my best to set out to try to live by this book. To understand that there is life after death. I am going to face God for judgment. So I want to live in such a way that He'd be pleased with me. When I meet Him personally. The empty tomb's guarantees. It guarantees that the Scriptures are absolutely true. There's life after death. All will be judged by God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Change is possible. Sins can be forgiven. And there is hope because of the empty tomb. Let's bow our heads.